Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Stephen Frampton, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, I'll be introducing our guest for this evening, John Lilek, and the title of our show is Connecting to a Higher Source. But before we get started with John, I'd like to introduce my co-hosts. Maureen, how are you this evening?
I'm doing okay. Thank you, Steve, for asking. How are you?
I am very well. Thank you, Maureen. Very well.
Okay.
Would you like to tell us a little about your work?
Would you like me to? Yes, I will.
Yes, we would love you to.
Yes. My work, I'm a psychic intuitive consultant, and with that empath stuff going on, that can be somewhat interesting. However, I really know this is the work that I must do, which I've been doing for 25 years or so, and I am mostly well-versed in tarot. Well, very connected to tarot, but I do just go, I don't need them if I read, but I want to help people help themselves in the direction they take, and there you have it. I work at PsychicAccess.com with the rest of you
Wonderful.
People. Thank
well,
you.
It's great to have you with us as always, Maureen.
Thank you.
And Bobby, how are you today?
Wonderfully well. How about you?
Very well. Thank you very well. What's new?
Nothing. What's new with you?
Oh, far too much to go into in a two-hour radio show.
Okay.
No, nothing.
We should just devote a whole show to you, and you can tell us all the new things that are happening. And
just about today, you know?
Yeah, just today.
It's nowhere near that interesting. Well, Bobby, good to have you with us as always. Could you tell our listeners a little about your work?
Yep, psychic medium, tuning into people and their energy here, and then also helping them to connect with some of the loved ones that have crossed over, because that can be a tremendous amount of healing, which it's funny. In the couple of years that we've been doing this, you know, I've said this before, that the people who call us at the end of the show to talk and such, we rarely ever do mediumship, do we? It's always a kind of psychic tuning into jobs and relationships and, you know, the thing that everybody wants to know about, so
it's
I find
true.
That kind of fascinating. But anyway, so yeah, that's basically what I do.
Wonderful. It's great to have you with us, Bobby, as always.
Thank you, sir.
And Brenda, how are you this evening?
I'm doing good. I'm doing excellent, actually.
Good. Good for you. That's the way we want you. Well, could you...
I'm ready. I can't wait for this. I love mediumship, and I love this. I can't wait for your guest. It's very interesting.
It will be. It'll be a great show, as always. Well, can you tell our listeners about your work, Brenda?
Well, I work with you lovely people on PsychicAccess.com, and I'm a predictive psychic. I specialize in dates, times, and places, and I use the tarot cards. I've been reading tarot since I was 14, so I won't give away my age, but it's a lot of years, okay? And the tarot, the crystal ball, and the playing cards.
That's New York.
Excellent. Wonderful. I'd like to ask you about the crystal ball sometime. Maybe we'll have a little time to talk about that later on after we interview John. So I'm going to just tell our listeners, thank you for that, Brenda. I'm going to tell our listeners a little about John. So Reverend John Lilek is an ordained spiritual minister, certified teacher, healer, and medium through the Universal Spiritualist Association. Reverend Lilek is founder and director of the Universal Spiritual Minitaries Association. He's co-pastor of a temple of love and light located in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And he's also well known as a teacher, tutor, and coach, helping people to discover, train, and develop their own spiritual gifts and talents, as well as to achieve their higher potential in life. He teaches and helps people across America, as well as in Ireland and the United Kingdom. Well, John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Steve, and it's a pleasure to be on here.
Well, we're happy to have you, John. I know you've got lots to share, and I'm really looking forward to the interview. I want to ask you firstly, John, just to tell us the address of your new website. I know that you've recently launched a new website, because I'd like you to tell us the address for that, please.
Sure. I'd be happy to, Steve. It's www.universalspiritualministries.org.
Great. Well, thank you, John. We'll be checking that out. Well, John, it's great to have you here. My first question for you is, when you first discovered your connection to spirit and your mediumship?
Oh, that was easy. I didn't even understand what was happening. Since age 5, I was actually channeling past lives and didn't even realize it. Give you an example. Here I grew up in a neighborhood in Cleveland, Ohio, a suburb, Parma, which was notoriously prejudiced in its day back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And here I was channeling. I'd be a friendly little kid, waving to everybody, saying hello, and then all of a sudden, if they didn't answer back, all of a sudden, this little slave boy come out of me. I'd say, hi, no mo, and I'd start talking. My mother would look at me and say, what's your problem? And here I was seeing all these different past lives. Since, like I said, age 5, and it just started opening up into physical phenomena, seeing spirit, talking spirit, hearing spirit, and it just kept going. And you know how the path goes. You're led from one teacher to another with many experiences between.
Absolutely. Well, John, I want you to help us by telling us how you connect with spirit. So can you give our listeners maybe an explanation about how mediumship works?
Oh, very good. It's we have great success with many of our students. And the secret to connecting with spirit is really the secret was within ourselves. If we could see into our own past in this life experience with vivid detail, exercising that part of the mind that rarely gets exercised, as we see things, in our present life, we process everything with the natural senses, the 5 senses of smell, touch, taste, hear, and seeing. And when we process things, it goes into memory. And if we could see things crystal clear and go into our memory and exercise, it's like a muscle that's never been used too often. It's like a filing cabinet with all this information, but very seldom do we delve into it. The greatest tool is to see into our own past with vividness. And if we could see into our own past when we tune into another vibration of another person, we can tune into their spirit and their and all of their loved ones around them in the same clarity. It's not so difficult. We make it difficult, but you know, when you think about it, each of us have been a medium in our own right. And I have little criteria that I kind of mentioned and relate to people. For example, it all starts out with that so-called gut feeling we all have. And when we act on it, everything happens exactly like it was shown to us. When we change our mind, that's when everything kind of goes wacky. And then later in life, when we were in school and we were studying, we took that pencil or pen and tapped our forehead, you know, the third eye. Yet no one taught us it. But we were opening and awakening that third eye to help us to concentrate deeper. Many times people will ask me, well, how do you know if I have mediumship? Well, you could see in people, like, for example, by their magnetism, by their energy, people come to them for advice. I always ask people, how many times do people come to you for advice? And they'll kind of like nod and smile, yes, and affirm it. And can you recall those special moments when you were giving advice? You were talking off the top of your head, had no idea what you were saying, and yet the amazing thing was people would come back to you with affirmation saying you were right on about that. So what happened, actually? We stepped aside. The egoic mind stepped aside. We allowed infinite intelligence through, and infinite intelligence gave those individuals what they needed to know and moved on. And here we don't remember, but yet people benefited from that, talking off the top of our head, so to speak. So in essence, each of us are mediums in our own right, whether we're creating art, composing, inventing, building. Everything in life is of creation. and that is coming from a higher source. Whether it's being a psychic, giving messages and readings, or expressing it through our own work in everyday life.
Well, I like that description, John, because many people think of mediumship as purely communicating with people that have passed to spirit. And as you said, really, we're all channeling. We're all connected to our higher selves in spirit. And when we're highly creative, we do channel from spirit, whether that's music or artwork, writing, etc. So that's a great way to put it. Can you tell us, John, how best to develop mediumship?
The best way, and we actually had the training all along from the very, many people, I'll ask them, do you believe you chose this lifetime? And most of them will say yes. And then I'll ask them another question. Do you believe that you chose your parents? And they'll say yes. And then I'd say, gotcha. Because you also chose all of your life experiences. And those life experiences, the worst ones, so to speak, that you would look at, the most horrendous ones, the experiences of abuse, mentally, physically, sexually, were some of the greatest experiences that we could ever experience. And they'll look at me strange, like, how could I want that? Well, William Shakespeare best put it, all the world's a stage and we are but its players. And in this lifetime, many play the different roles. Some play the role of the villain. And those experiences, we feel the suffering and the pain. We feel that as the victim. But we also become the teacher in each and every experience, because in that suffering we experience, we develop something. We develop compassion and sensitivity. That sensitivity and compassion helps us to read in many people. We could feel their pain and their suffering as well. So when you think about it, Steve, we were given tools all along the way. And spirits revealed our gifts to us all throughout our life, and most people don't even realize it. I'll bet many of your listeners right there can relate to some of the things I'll mention. For example, many times people will have articles of jewelry that disappear in their homes, and they seem to reappear in other locations. The spirit's actually showing you your gifts of apportation by using your own energy. Because the key to spirit is no spirit can manifest in any size, shape, or form without using some form of human energy, our energy. And when they manifest, they're actually showing you your gifts. For example, if you've seen spirit with your own eyes, you're caught off guard, the normal condition is being passive. You are being shown that, and spirit drew from you your ectoplasm, which they needed to actually show themselves manifesting. So that could be materialization. When you see the spirit over someone's face, that could, and you're the only one that's seen it, you could have transfiguration. But the gifts go on and on. It's all up to us. The key to the universe is manifesting. Later in life, many of us become aware. We're awakened, and we want to do something else besides working at the same job for the rest of our lives and perhaps making someone else wealthy, and we feel that we're not contributing in the way we should. Many of us deep down inside, and my wife Brett and I have been blessed to travel all over the United States and see all these wonderfully gifted, talented people everywhere. And it's, first of all, it begins with a desire. You must have a desire first to help people, not for personal gain and ego and all of that. When we go strive for the higher gifts, we will put it out there. The key to the universe is ask, and you shall receive. Come unto me, saith the Lord. If I do not ask, how do I expect to receive? Many people misunderstand how spirit works. They say, well, I'll put everything in God's hands. I won't ask. I'll just trust that it'll be there. But from the spirit side, they cannot bring things into our life because it would be meddling. What if they gave us perhaps that person in our life, and yet we're still clinging on to past experiences? Karmically, spirit would be meddling, and they would be held accountable for that. We have to clear those slates to open up clear manifesting. that's the, you know, the first step, removing the blockages that have held us back all of our lifetime.
And John, which would you say is the most striking example of mediumship that you've experienced?
Oh, yes, I could go on with the whole list, but I'll tell you one that made me a believer, a rock. I've had experiences throughout my life, and one of the most common, I came from a broken home like many other people, and my parents would argue. I would describe my father and my mother's relationship as one of water and one of earth, and together they made mud, so to speak. I say this jokingly, but they were both great people. My father had suffered a tragic death. We won't go into it, but I never really had closure, but I had an awakening during that time. Well, through a series of events, I was led from one teacher to a great teacher, a physical medium named Reverend Dr. James G. Tingley in Toledo, Ohio. And here he was a true physical medium. He had developed materialization, developed trumpet. I've even seen the aluminum trumpet levitating in full natural light and speaking up to three voices. He had all the gifts like precipitation and airports all developed. Well, he sat in the cabinet, and about my third actual seance was a materialization seance, but the amazing thing was it was just myself and Reverend Tingley. There were no other sitters. He sat in this cabinet, which was like a little enclosure with a black curtain in front of him, and this dim red light shining right on it. And I sat in the chair, and I seen a blue mist come out of the cabinet. And the gatekeeper, his gatekeeper, Mabel, instructed me to rise from my seat and begin walking toward the cabinet, and then told me to stop. And out of the cabinet came my own father, and he looked much younger, like in his 20s. Kind of like Field of Dreams, when Kevin Costner seen his father as the young ball player. Well, it was the same experience. I had seen my own father come out of there. We stood face to face. I couldn't even tell you, Steve, how long it was. It could have been an eternity, as far as I'm concerned. But we were communicating telepathically. I understood what he was saying, and he understood what I was saying. And the amazing thing was we both knew that the energy was waning, so we had to say our so longs for now. So as I reached my hand out to extend it to his, he reached and shook my hand. Well, on the earth plane, my father was a tool and die maker, had very strong hands, and when he shook hands, it was like a vice grip. Well, when I felt his grip, I could feel the flesh, the fingers, and that bone-crushing grip. The only difference was it was icy cool. It was the ectoplasm around him. And when I felt that, I looked in his eyes, and I immediately broke down. And I said, and I started to cry. I says, oh, my God, I'm in the best of both worlds right here, right now. And, Steve, from that moment on, I became a believer. And by seeing this, you become the rock because you have your proof. I only wish, I only pray that people around the world can have these experiences to know that all is well with the spirit world, and that we could go on with full closure and not suffer the grieving, because in essence, they go into higher progression. They're no longer suffering, and they are here with us to help us and guide us. And how do you know spirits around you? Like some of the common little tests you could do is if your ears normally don't ring and you start feeling that ear ringing continuously in your ears, when you feel those cobwebby touches all over your face, your fingers, your hands, your neck, your back, your hair, that's what the spirit touch feels like.
Thank you, John. Can you explain to us, John, why physical mediumship seems so rare nowadays? I know in a previous show we were talking about the fact that Neptune is now back in Pisces, the sign that it rules. The last time that occurred was in the 1800s. When we saw this huge increase in mediumship, seances, channeling, and spiritualist phenomenon. And then Neptune is back in Pisces. And it makes me wonder whether we'll see a shift in some of the mediumistic phenomena that we experience.
We are.
So what are your feelings on physical mediumship and any shifts we may see now that Neptune is back in Pisces?
We are going to see a lot more communication from the high ascended masters, not just of this world, but of many worlds. I can actually prove that right now in the demonstrations that we give with the Transfiguration. Like the book, The Ancient Mystical White Brotherhood by Frater Aked, it makes mention of master teachers of other worlds, not just of this earth, but ever of this earth. And we actually, in Transfigurations, people have actually seen up to 8 different species of extraterrestrial transfigure right over me, and I'm sure other mediums as well. We're getting that influence from higher worlds, and I do believe it's coming back, but people are expecting it in the old Victorian way, where you have to sit in a cabinet and have very subdued lights. I'm actually doing demonstrations with direct red light right on me instead of subdued. And instead of a cabinet, I just sit in front of a black curtain with black clothing just to highlight the ectoplasm better. But you don't even need a cabinet for the materialization. They actually see many times now the ectoplasm come right out of me off to the sides. I set the lighting precisely right on my face centered so that the ectoplasm could form around me and above me, and they could see the materialized spirit. It's different. It's finer in texture. We are noticing that our children in this day and age are very gifted. A prime example, I was teaching a trumpet mediumship class in Tacoma, Washington, and a spiritualist minister, Reverend Sheila, her granddaughter, Tanisha, asked to sit in it, and she did with her little student-sized trumpet. Well, to my surprise and to my delight, I was getting news from her grandmother that her trumpet's actually levitating and whispering. So you see, many of the children are natural because they don't have, it's a different energy than we had when we were brought up. They're trusting, they're pure in many ways of heart versus the adulthood. Now, you ask why the decline, and I believe there's a lot of reasons. I believe it was partially in many things, competitiveness, control, abusing the gifts perhaps, but it's coming back, and that's part of my mission along with others, is to work silently behind the scenes to the like-minded, the true seekers of the higher gifts, because nothing like evidential mediumship when you could see and talk direct to spirit. You know, it's nice to receive a reading and everything like that, but when you could talk to them direct, it's like a picture's worth 1,000 words. When you see that image and you see them smiling, and many times when I do readings, I'll see that spirit, what they look like near their death. They'll even give me all the different causes, you know, the different things on their death certificate. If there are 2 or 3 different things that have caused their demise, that's one thing. But immediately they'll show me a picture, a photo that their relatives have and describe. Well, they're in their 20s or 30s in their prime. So I actually see them looking much younger when they come to them.
It's wonderful, isn't it, John, to live life knowing that we survive beyond this lifetime, beyond this physical death, and that there's much more beyond this physical experience.
It truly is, Steve. We've actually had our own experiences as children many times, and I'm sure many people can relate to this one. When we've had those dreams of falling from the sky, and all we remember is the falling part and being woken up like a sudden jolt. When our astral body, via the silver cord, realigns itself with the physical body and touches the thousands of nerve endings, it's like an electrical shock that wakes us up. And yet, we were all going to higher places with our teachers to receive programming in our subconscious mind. All that knowledge is stored within. I tell people, the wisdom of the master teacher is already within each and every one of us. But like Christ and Buddha and many other great master teachers spoke of, to get into that Christ mind, that second mind, the subconscious mind, we must see everything in the conscious mind as a spiritual experience and lessons of value, learning, not as a bad or bitter experience, or that veil is continuously closed. It's like an awakening that must happen.
Do you, how did you become introduced to physical mediumship, John?
Well, it's kind of funny. I always believed in keeping an open mind. I didn't quite understand at age 5 about past lives, but yet I was doing it naturally. And at that time, back in the early 1960s, I really didn't have access to any knowledge to that. But I think it really awakened when I had an industrial accident. Working subcontracting years ago, because I was a builder, and I had an accident where I fell off the scaffold, and my all the tools fell down me on me, including my own drill, a commercial drill with a foot-long drill bit right into my scalp, tore my scalp like a bed sheet, cracked my skull, and from that day on, all this physical phenomena started happening. I started seeing spirit manifesting. Like my teacher would jokingly say, like a teapot, you have to have a crack to let the light in, I guess. And so in my case, that's what kind of opened it right there, an accident. And there have been cases where other mediums have had that happen with trauma. We're not telling people to go ahead and have hand injuries to open it up. But it can come naturally. Many times children see spirit, but over years, they're told by their parents, well, you're imagining these things, so that it's kind of suppressed, because as time goes on, we develop the same fears and prejudices of our surroundings, our parents, or whoever raised us. But to be free, the key to it all is to be open-minded and to desire it. And by that and by the higher laws of spirit, they can open the door, because high spirit, highly evolved spirit, would never manifest if it would bring fear or making us uncomfortable. They wait until we become more enlightened, more knowledge. And there's ways that spirit actually enlightens us, different techniques.
Have you been to Brazil as well, John? Didn't you go to Brazil with your work?
No, Tanya and Greg Stewart, some really good friends of ours, in California. Tanya actually worked side by side with John of God for 20 years. My wife Greta and I were just talking about that possibly going this fall, but we're kind of in the process of trying to build our spiritual retreat up in Maine, too. We want to build a retreat where other like-minded people could come, teachers from all over the world, and mediums can work there, because we want to provide a place where people can receive spiritual healing and spiritual growth. Brazil would be a great place to visit because it is like a very spiritual, it's one of the meccas of the world.
It is. There's a huge amount of channeling and mediumship going on in Brazil, isn't there?
Yes, there is. I've heard some amazing stories of a young medium, actually from Peru, a young lady that actually was channeling spirit, and two Catholic priests came and were investigating her. And after one of her channeling sessions, they were actually in tears, and they thanked her over and over because she actually revealed to them many of the teachings of the Bible that were far deeper than they ever imagined. So it comes in all sizes, shapes, and forms, and those gifts are all over the world. And that's what we're looking forward to, seeing the awakening, the beauty and the diversity of the gifts with everyone. It should be of a light workers, of people wanting to seek to go to a higher source, because when we work together, there's enough room for everyone in this world. And there is no room for competitiveness and jealousy, because each of us have been blessed with so many talents. If we would only look within, that's the key.
Do your guides ever tell you, John, about future events in the world, generally?
Normally, I stay out of that. I trust, I see that with people in things that have been even 4 or 5 years or 15 years up the road. But as far as that, I don't see any events of turmoil. I see instances like this whole entire, since we measured society in history, we're going to have floods, we're going to have earthquakes, we're going to have financial collapses and things like this. This is inevitable. But I don't see an end to civilization. I believe in being an optimist. And like all of us, Steve, life is eternal. If we, in this life, if we do the best we can, as long as we can, until that moment, then we've lived life well. If we follow the path of Spirit and allow them to open the doors for us and to walk that path, we really have nothing to worry about, nothing to fear whatsoever.
Well, John, we're going to take a short commercial break in a moment. I've got another question I wanted to ask you before we take that break. Could you tell us a little about your guides, John? It's always interesting to hear about a medium's spirit guides. Could you tell us about yours?
Sure. I actually was channeling some of them and didn't even know it. I remember my guides, Tulip and Opal, my messengers, and Tulip is feisty and ornery, and I actually have her recorded on cassette tape in a trumpet seance. And our guides are like us. If we're multitaskers, they're multitaskers. And she doesn't miss anything in any details, and so she brings all that. She says, I have a mic in a trumpet seance. She said, I have a microscope that sees around corners, you know, in a joking way, but that's how she is. My spirit chemist physician, Dr. Graham, he actually, on the Earth plane, he actually invented the graham cracker, and a lot of people didn't realize. They thought, oh, it's just a tasty cracker. But it was actually invented in his day for the purpose of helping people suppress the need for alcohol. It was for alcoholism. And so I made an oath back in 1986 to never touch a drop of alcohol in respect and reverence to him. One of my doctors of philosophy, Dr. Gramer, I actually have a soap precipitation with all their faces on it from Dr. Hank Keeling, where they used the pigment of a carnation flower, and the images appeared on fine woven linen just as clear as a photograph. So I can see their faces clearly, but they are very dedicated. And there's actually a science through the seance room. We could actually, all of us could tell who our spirit guides are, just by the size, shape, and color of the lights. For example, Steve, if you ever see those sky blue colored orbs, those are spirit doctors.
When the blue ones?
Yes. And when you see the white, a little variations with a little white in it, that's usually a chemist physician. And that's your main doctor. That's the one that, when you were having those dreams of falling from the sky, that's your protector right there. That was actually protecting your physical body while other teachers were taking your astral body places. This doctor stood by, protected you, made sure no one came in the room, turned on a light or touched you because they could have snapped that silver cord. Many times we receive healings in the middle of the night. This is the doctor that has been watching over us. When you see sky blue lights with a little bit of yellow, that's a doctor teacher. Yellow represents a teacher of some sort. When you see that in an orb, even in variations, when you see the light red orbs, those are Indians. Depending on what lands you're from, if you're from Australia, it may be the Aborigine. But nevertheless, it is the Indian that is the medium's best friend because they are the protectors. I could tell you amazing stories of how they use quantum physics to protect us. But that's another chapter in itself. When you see the large orbs, those are usually the master teachers. And when you study them closely, you can actually see multicolors, four or five different colors. And we've actually had them blown up, cropped the orb, and you can actually see the faces in them. You can actually see your guide's faces by adding programs to your computer to add pixels. And when you crop them, you can actually see all the spirit faces in the orbs, because that's a projection of spirit right there.
Yeah, I've seen, I have pictures of orbs with faces in them and also crystals with faces in them. I really like to collect pictures and photography that show faces of spirit.
Yes.
It's exciting. Well, John, we'll take a short commercial break and then we'll be back to continue the conversation.
Wonderful, Steve.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Okay, spiritual path, what we're planning on doing?
Yeah, that would be really interesting. I'd love to know what you have planned in your work in the next 2 years. You mentioned the retreat, and I'm sure our listeners would like to hear more about what you have planned in your spiritual work in future.
Yes, I'd be glad to extenuate on that about the vision and how spirits opened the door for us, including how donors came and how we're going through our 501c. I can explain everything. It's been an amazing adventure. We're not on the air right now, are we?
Yes, we're back on air, John. Yeah, so you can go ahead and tell us about your plans.
Yes, it's been through a step-by-step process that Spirit's been guiding me, and my lovely wife, Greta, she's actually from England herself. We were actually soulmates. We found out about each other that we had 9 past lives. I actually seen it, the exact incident, 190 years ago with my own death, and here she recorded it 4 or 5 years ago in past life regression, the exact scene. So we're guided to start a spiritual retreat up in Maine and up in the mountains, and one friend was led to us and said he owned property, and he wants to donate 14 acres on a mountaintop when we become 501c3 and to have a center, because people believe in something that we're not going as a religious organization. It's a spiritual organization. We won't call it a church. We'll call it a center because we do not necessarily want to denote Christianity, because there are so many valuable teachings from all the different religions. And we try to find the golden threads that unite people instead of separate them. And we welcome all, because that's been our mission, is to train people, to help them, to counsel them along the way. We don't make a lot of money. We're traveling in a 2004 Chevy Malibu with about almost 200,000 miles on it. It's about time for a new one. So you see, we're not living lavishly. My wife and I, she actually was she's divorced in England, still waiting on a house sale there. And I kind of lost everything in my past, divorce. And we're working together because we believe in a mission, and we're putting together. So we've basically been going from one booking to another, from place to place without our own home. We've been basically on the road for almost 2 years this coming November.
Wow.
And everything and it's by the grace of Spirit that opens the door for the next and the next location. And so everything we're saving, we're putting into that spiritual center. But here's the amazing thing. It's not going to have members. It's going to have friends and associates. We already have our bylaws. It's going to set precedence, because we find that so many problems with many of the spiritual churches and centers, because of the bylaws, that's what destroys themselves in the first place. So what we're trying to do is set something that we have people that are welcome to come as friends, associates, to participate, to help out in any way they feel inspired. And we're not going to own anything except for our own modest little home on a separate piece of property there. But everything, when we made up our minds that everything that we have, we're going to pass on to the next generation that carry on with it. Because we're looking to leave something for the next generation and the next generation. A way of life, a way of teaching.
This is wonderful, John. You're a real example, because you really are dedicated to serving spirit rather than serving yourself. It's very exciting. And if you, I own a healing center in Knoxville, Tennessee. So if ever this is on your path, please let me know, because we'd love you to come and teach and see clients at the center in Knoxville. You and your wife would be very welcome here.
Thank you, Steve. Actually, we'll be there. We'll be in North Carolina and Norfolk, Virginia in June. And we do have openings, so we'll talk about that later if you like. And I could I could send you all of my courses, my wife Greta's courses.
Yes, for sure. And we'll connect and make that happen.
Wonderful, because we love working with like-minded people. You know, it's been an amazing several years. I'll give you an example. One time in Washington State, I was actually doing a transfiguration demonstration for not only spiritualist ministers and their congregation, but I also had a few woman ministers with us and their congregation, and they all seen spirit, and not just transfiguration, but materialization as well. And talk about high energy. I've had ministers from other Christian faiths approach me for training. And here's the beauty of our organization. Whatever papers or credentials people have earned, we do not require anyone to surrender what they've earned. We believe that whatever you've earned, you keep. That's yours for the rest of your life. If you're seeking credentials in the future from us for healing, for mediumship, for teaching, for ministerial, we'll be happy to run people through the program, and we welcome them, because we're trying to bring something more unified and getting away from the prejudices, because we're finding that religion is being shaken up very severely in this day and age. Look at the shows, Ancient Aliens, what it's done. And look at many of our shows that are proving things to us. I've had my own proofs in the seance room, but how can people believe it until they experience it for themselves? So, like I said, that's the beauty of the center. We're going to have, we are looking forward to having diverse activities, welcoming mediums from all over the world and teachers to teach there, to participate, to be a part of something. Just like we've had the pleasure of going all over and making friends and building new bridges and helping people on their path. And that's the beauty of it. Even after we leave our events and our teaching experiences with each center, I always leave an open door. If people have questions about something, feel free to contact me, because that's our real passion, is helping others. Because there's a little secret in the method of my madness, Steve. I'll share it with you. I feel that the more people that we could train to be a higher caliber medium, whether it's mental or physical mediumship, they're going to help raise the bar, raise the standards. But here's the best part. Then we'll be sitting in their seances and talking to our spirit loved ones and guides and teachers ourselves. You know, after sitting for over 3,500 trumpet seances talking direct to spirit for 10 years, when my teacher passed away, that all those seances stopped. And to be honest, Steve, I could have lost an arm or a leg after that, you know what I mean? And as long as I could talk to spirit. But when that's taken away, all that beautiful guidance, but it comes in another way, through impressions, through their own, but talking direct, there's nothing like it.
It's exciting. So I want to ask you then, John, can you describe, you obviously do a lot of seances. Can you describe for us a seance? How does that work? How is it set up? What are the requirements, etc.?
Okay, I teach how to sit for the different gifts. I'm not fully developed. I'm not developed in trumpet or materialization, what I would call consistent, okay? I've had trumpets move and levitate. I've sat in canvas, in front of canvas. We've had as many as four spirit at a time come out. To set up, what I've basically been doing is, when it comes to those more advanced gifts like materialization, it requires much more energy. So I kind of like to go with study groups, people that are knowledgeable, not apprehensive, you know, the first timers. But when it comes to transfiguration, it's fully developed, and it's actually happened in full daylight for up to 2 hours in full light, where everyone seen the same thing, spirit transfiguring over my face at a rate of about 160 to 180 faces per minute. And it would last for an hour or 2 hours. I make it simple because I believe this way. I just put a black curtain, a velvet curtain against a wall, and nothing behind it, just a wall. And I just put a small 7.5-watt bulb in a light fixture, hanging from the ceiling at a 45-degree angle, concentrated on my face. And I just have it dimmed enough so they see the outline of my face. I make it so simple, people can't believe it. I know a lot of mediums in Ireland and Wales couldn't believe it because they thought you'd need a cabinet, you know, for the ectoplasm. And at first, it starts out, we open with prayer. I encourage people to be reverent, to pay their respects to all spirit that come through, because the more they speak, the more by their sound vibration, they attract their own spirit loved ones. The amazing thing is a lot of people will see 3, 4, 5 of their loved ones, but they'll look young. When you're quiet, you tend to pull on the energy. And when they see the spirit, they'll just keep flashing and flashing and flashing, and then it'll start to slow down, and it's like trance will take over, or channeling. I could remember sometimes the channeling, but the trance, I don't remember anything. And they'll speak direct, sometimes reach out and shake their hand if the energy is compatible, but they'll actually, I pack them in almost knee to knee, sometimes as many as 40, 50 people, and they can all see the same thing. But like I said, each seance is different because each, all the people, they bring in different energies each and every time. But I would love to do a demonstration for you and your center, if you'd like, with that transfiguration.
Absolutely. Yes, we would love it. For sure. Please come.
But I'm more than happy to explain how to sit and develop the techniques, because I'm one of those few that believe in helping them, helping mediums develop and give them tools to develop. It's sad, many times most of your mediums don't teach others anymore. It's basically self-interest, but that's the path. There are so many people with natural abilities. Steve, I've been in awe for some of the people I've read for. When Spirit shows me their gifts, and I see that energy, and I say to myself, oh my God, if you only knew your potential, the help that you could help humanity, it's a beautiful gift, many of them. They're all great.
Well, you sound fantastic, John. We definitely want you to come and visit. It would be an honor to have you with us. And I want to ask you then, do you travel all over the U.S.?
Yes. Actually, from here, tomorrow we'll be at the Jamar Enlightenment Center for the next 3 days in Palm Beach, Florida. And then we're going to be working on some projects in between, and then the Harmony Metaphysical Chapel in Tampa, Florida, the third weekend, and then we have to go right to Maine to the Pinpoint of Light Spiritualist Church Camp to work there and serve there. We're teaching an intensive 7-hour workshop that I've designed that really brings the confidence and the proof of mediumship right out in people. It's kind of like a boot camp thing where we go through training, a little training, and then we go through guided meditations and more progressive exercises. And before you know it, people are seeing remote viewing and opening up all of their psychic senses at once and actually seeing the spirit themselves and amazed. And then, let's see, New England, the Midwest, and then back to California in October, California, Washington State. So, yes, we're going to be traveling all over, but actually I have some friends up there in Murfreesboro, Tennessee,
yes,
Unionville.
Yes.
And so we're planning on visiting with them. So I'll send you the info if you'd like. And
absolutely.
And let you look at.
Sure. Let's get it organized, John. That would be wonderful. That would be really, really great. And how long, John, would you say it takes for a person to develop the ability for physical mediumship?
Many times, the amazing thing, I found a discovery. The old days, when I was going through what they call chemicalizations, where we would sit in trumpet seances, and Spirit would do chemicalizations on us, where, for example, for trance, we would sit in a cabinet one at a time, and it was like, if you could imagine the worst flu where you have nauseousness, the shakes, the dry heaves, everything. It was like going through that type of chemicalization for 45 minutes and not complaining, even thinking of complaining. And we went through that training for years, the different chemicalizations whispered that they pull from the energy of the medium. I'm finding now that even my transfigurations, everyone in your group will benefit. And the amazing thing is, it's not just seeing the spirit faces or the materializations up front. The people in the back rows can actually see the ectoplasm forming, and instead of seeing the materialized figures, they can't see those, but sometimes they'll see a mist and up to 12, 13 spirit actually walking through them. They'll see them walking amongst the people. We've actually had people in the front row in Temple Heights Spiritual Camp in Maine. The front sitters put their hands right into the ectoplasm, and the amazing thing, everybody, the whole entire row, felt the set of spirit hands touching them at the other end from the ectoplasm. People receive chemicalizations, and how do you know that? You'll feel the intense cold chill. You'll feel like a dizziness, like your head being pulled forwards and backwards, which is producing an undulatory energy wavelength that's necessary for trance. Your arms and legs may be heavy. If you feel that, you're going through a chemicalization. When you open your channel, even if you're just an impressional medium, you can actually open your clairvoyance up wide open by sitting in those sessions. Now, here's the best part. If you have a group of people that are in there that require healing, the amazing thing is spirit will pull the energy of the group and give that energy to help those people in need of healing. And how do they know? They will feel intense heat in specific organs and parts of their body. I mean, we had a lady one time in Florida that had kidney disease, and her kidney was so far on fire that you could put your hands 3-4 inches from her kidney, and you could feel the heat radiating. The next time we did another seance, she felt spirit hands probing all over, and her kidney disease has been cured. So it is really a laboratory, and we really look forward to you experiencing it and everybody in your group, because it's like an eye-opener. It's beyond just seeing spirit. There's a lot that happens. It's like your spirit guides, our spirit guides, are all working together to benefit all the sitters right there.
Well, I want to ask you as well, John, about your health, because my colleague Brenda's asking about any health issues for the people practicing the physical mediumship. We've heard that it can take quite a toll on the medium.
I found actually there's ways to build up that stamina and that power, and you could actually build it up. And I encourage people, when you're going for the gifts, to build that stamina. Like we found that, I found most physical mediums can easily do 20, 25 half-hour deep readings in a day, easy. Or 55, maybe 75 spirit messages all at once. It's like a different stamina, but basically we're finding that for transfiguration, we've had materialization, even to trumpet levitating. There were times spirit didn't even have to take me into trance. The energy is higher than it was of yesterday. The key is we have to go to that same level of reverence that the mediums did in the days of old, and holding it sacred, going beyond the hype and all of that to make it a spiritual experience. That's the key. I'll give you a prime example. I'll never forget the trumpet seances with Reverend Tingley were so developed that I was like a cabinet tender, an assistant. So when all the sitters were in, I was the last one to actually close the lights, lock the door, and then sit down. Well, before I could sit down, those trumpets would be levitating and sticking to me, often disorienting me in the dark that I trip. But I'll never forget an instance when I was actually calling up the Lord's Prayer, and I was saying it rather quickly. And Mabel, the gatekeeper, came in, and she said, "If you can't say it with feeling and meaning, don't say it at all." Back then, I was a student for the ministry, and so she made me recite the Lord's Prayer with her twice, because many people think, they're just going to say the prayer and do the routine. Make it sacred. That's what they taught me, because when you make it sacred, you're bringing a higher energy in. Just like, for example, healing. We all know what happens when we just say the prayer, nothing happens. But then when we say it with feeling and compassion, what happens? Our right hand usually gets extremely hot, our left hand gets cold. Just a simple example of the power of prayer. That's the key that we must never forget, because to enter that gateway with spirit, that's the first step right there, is our intentions. They must be in the most sincerest and in the highest reverent way, not just for the phenomena. Because the way spirit works is we're given tests throughout that whole process of patience and perseverance. We're being tested on like what we're really there for. And if it's for self, most of your physical mediums, if they're self-oriented, very seldom develop those gifts. You notice that. They'll stay with the psychic and the mental mediumship, but very seldom when it becomes of self do they go any further. You know, and that's the thing. We came in this world with nothing, Steve, and we're going to leave this world with nothing. Like my teachers would say, there are no pockets and shrouds.
Yeah, we just take our growth with us, don't we?
Yes, we do. And we take that love with us, but our rules change from the other side. Like many times people have difficulty, for example, finding closure because of a loved one. But many times what we don't realize is each of us make a contract in how long our life is going to be, sometimes short for specific lessons and experiences. And yet they all interact with everyone along that way. But when we go on the other side, I viewed my father over the years I developed a relationship with my father. I used to call him Dad. But over time, I realized that he was in higher progression, studying to be a spirit doctor. So I realized that I could no longer hold those claims as a son would to his father, make any demands, like, you need to do this for me or that. I realized that he played his role in this life, and he has his own right to higher progression. So I merely call him Dr. Lilic now, not Dad anymore.
Ah, wonderful.
Yeah.
Well,
John,
it's been wonderful to have you with us, John. I really mean that. You're a wonderful guy and fascinating man. And it's been a real honor to have you with us. It's been a very, very interesting interview, John. I'd love you to come back on the show in future and would love to have you come to my healing center in Knoxville. So I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us, John.
Thank you, Steve. It's my pleasure, and it's been an honor, and always happy to help, and feel free to, I'd love to do another show and come to your center. So we'll talk about that, soon. All right.
Yes. Wonderful. I'll be in touch, John. And thank you so much for being with us. It was great.
Thank you, and God bless, and wishing all listeners all the best and higher spiritual development, and may that peace and happiness be abundant in each and every one.
Thank you, John, and God bless to you too.
All right. Bye for now.
Bye, John. Oh, it was a wonderful interview. I want to thank John again for taking the time out to be with us. I'm sure that having listened to him and the quality of his work and spirituality, like me, you have a great deal of respect for his knowledge. I'm really pleased that he joined us to share his insights. Now, if you'd like more information about John, please visit his website, universalspiritualministries.org. That's universalspiritualministries.org. I'd like to make a few announcements before we move on to the next part of the show. Be sure to stay tuned for the last part of our show and get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We'll announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. And if you were unable to catch our show last week, you'll find a recorded archive link on the psychicaccesstalkradio.com website. Just select archives and you'll see that all of our shows are there for you to listen to at any time. They can also be downloaded in iTunes, and feel free to circulate them to your friends and families, as well as future show details. We want to connect with as many people as possible, so you can help us by sharing those links. Please do visit our website, psychicbloggers.com, where you can read all kinds of blogs and articles about everything from in the paranormal field, from reincarnation to psychic development and many more subjects. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the internet, go to psychicaccess.com. you'll find that all of our psychics are verified, accuracy tested, offering their unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them, and so you can choose the gifted psychic that you feel is most able to help you with your inquiry. It's a great honor to work with Psychic Access and Doug. He has very high expectations of each psychic and of the business, and it's a pleasure to be part of the group. All of my co-hosts here are also on psychicaccess.com. And if you'd like a personal reading from one of us, please do be sure to visit us. We'd love to hear from you. And if you have a website of your own, remember that you can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that's referred to psychicaccess.com. And if you would like more information about that special offer, please visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And lastly, if you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in the chat room and to listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everybody, so please do spread the word. Now grab your pen and paper. I'm going to give you the telephone number so that you can call in for a free reading after we've had our co-host interaction. The number is 724-444-4851. That's 724-444-4851. And when you do call, please have a question, just one question, ready for us. We can only cover one question for each caller because of the time limitations, and it helps us if you speak up and clearly articulate your question so that we can give you insight and help you. Well, I'd like to ask Brenda first of all about the interview. I know you were very enthusiastic, Brenda, about John. So tell us what your thoughts are.
You know, this is right up my alley because I do a lot of, you know, ghost hunting and seances and stuff like that. And I loved the part when he was talking about ectoplasm. And one of the things, and I had wanted to ask him, but I just didn't because the interview was just going so great, about his opinion on, you know, the manifestation of copper pennies as ectoplasm. Because I recently had an experience of a manifestation when a penny showed up after we were asking the spirit, you know, to come forth. And when I went to pick it up, it felt like I was reaching way down. And then when I touched it, it was ice cold. So I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah. He's a great guy. You can tell that he's really committed to spirit.
He really, you know, he's really doing the work, and you know, and I'm glad that he did bring up the, you know, I'm glad he brought up the whole part about protecting yourself, because so many people out there, you know, they'll see this on the movies or whatever and they just want to do it, but they're not equipped spiritually, mentally, emotionally, you know, to protect themselves from, you know, I mean, there is a possibility that they could have attachments or whatever. Don't you agree?
Yes, absolutely. I don't think people realize how important it is to protect themselves psychically.
Oh, absolutely. Especially when I go and I do any of this stuff, I make sure that we're protected before we even start the session, because, you know, it could, and there are incidences, you know, and we taught you briefly about the physical stuff, about people who do this type of mediumship, you know, eventually, you know, it affects them physically, you know, at some point, you know, especially when he was talking about the chemical stuff. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. I remember we talked about Helen Duncan, the very well-known physical medium, and she had a lot of health issues later in life. I have heard that mediums do often have health issues later in life because it takes quite a toll on the physical body.
Well, I think that any time that you are open to the spirit entering you, see what I mean? Then when they leave, if you haven't done your work and you haven't, you know, protected yourself, they could leave, and this is just my opinion, some sort of residue or shadow, an impression, you know? So
yeah,
that's just my thoughts on that. I mean, I had a very dear friend. She's since passed over. She was a very well-known medium here in California named Mary Valla. This was over 20 years ago that she passed over, and she did a lot of mediumship, and it affected her, you know, so.
Yeah. Let's ask Bobby. He's also a medium. Bobby, what did you think of the interview?
I really enjoyed him. Kind of inspires me to, I was looking at his website, which I didn't see that on the Psychic Access page, you know, our guest page.
It has to be updated, Bobby. The website's only just gone live.
Oh, got ya. So it's the Independent Spiritualists Association.org for those who are interested. I was looking up where he is going to be and, you know, some of the things that they're doing and stuff. Very fascinating. And I do love his spirit and his energy and things like that. It just gets wacky for me, man, because I've never seen the physical, you know what I mean? Like I've been out on my investigations and such for my TV show, and it was really exciting when you would hear, and I'm talking about light stuff, like just hearing footsteps, you know what I mean? The actual footsteps outside of my head where, you know, I know that you and I have talked about this, Steve, but most of the things it is that I see, hear, and feel are inside. It's the spiritual hearing, seeing, and feeling. But to actually hear something outside of my head, let alone what he's talking about, manifestations, that story about him and his father. And I mean, that if I could have that kind of an experience, I would just be through the roof. I think that would just be amazing. So, yeah, it's very fascinating.
It is, isn't it? I'm very excited that John's going to come to the Healing Center in Knoxville. Oh. That will be just wonderful.
And they're going to, he said he's going to do a demonstration and things like that. You lucky bastard.
That's yeah, so yeah. And a workshop as well. We'll have to get him to do some workshops as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exciting. Well, it's good. Well, Maureen, what did you think?
It was very good. I really liked it. He was yet another authentic guest who really knew exactly what he was saying. And I also feel very well versed in what he was saying. He wasn't, you know, just didn't read a couple books. He knew what he's saying. You know, what I found very interesting is because one thing that, and when he was bringing something, like Bobby just said, it kind of, I know, Bobby, you said something in the very beginning that kind of inspired you or something like that.
You know, normally there's so many people that do this that I wouldn't, you know, I don't have the time or I wouldn't go and watch them. Mm-hmm. Fascinated by what they say, because they're not really saying anything new or cutting edge or that type of thing, but he almost inspires me to want to go see him, you know what I mean? Like so that's why I started looking up things of where he's going to be at. Yeah, it inspires me to want to go watch now.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, I wanted to just say before, sorry to chip in, guys, but somebody from Florida was calling in for a reading, and I just wanted to say if they can call back in 8 minutes, we'll be able to take the call. But carry on, Maureen.
Okay, I'm going to carry on. I like that. Carry on. Yes, well, the thing of it is, and I have spoken about this a lot of times, maybe people don't remember, but there's a trans mediumship, and when he was talking, you know, there are two different types, the physical and the trans medium. And I've never, you know, labeled myself as a medium, or I don't put that on my thing, you know, about who I am or whatever, but because it doesn't happen all the time, and with me when it has happened, it's been overwhelming, and whether you're unconscious of it or conscious, it doesn't happen on because I'm trying to control it, but the times it has, it's been extremely overwhelming. He was talking about your head. He was talking about the ones, what was the one Brenda said? Yeah, chemical. What did he say? Chemical? What was that one he said about chemical?
The chemical evidence.
Yes.
The chemical.
Yeah, and well, it takes a toll on the body, and those are the kind of things that I've experienced. And I do know that, you know, he's talking about the neck and things going back, and I, you know, had felt, and actually they're the best readings I feel I've ever done. It's been, you know, a handful of them. And I don't know why these certain people, but I get overwhelmed because I'm like, what's going on with me? What? Suddenly I'm going into this whole nother area. But I also feel that it's like, because if you're not consciously aware of the content of the communication, like for the transmedium, like I guess I could say, yes, I'm not a transmedium, but I am. Or I have, you know, just that's part of the thing I've gone into. But it's also, it can be very wearing on the physical body, as he was talking about. For me, as I mean, it's the proof's in the pudding. I've had some intense physical draining issues. But the thing of it is also about the obstacles to develop of transmediumship can be very intense too. Because for someone that does that or whatever, because you can get a fear about it, which I had experienced as well, because it was like, you know, it was like, okay, I consciously can do this. Let's sit down with somebody, and I go into this way. I mean, a way that I've never experienced. But like I said, those have been the best readings I've ever done, and the most wearing on my body, physical body as well. It's very interesting, but wow.
How can you describe your experience?
Yes, Maureen? and I have talked about this one particular one, but it's the best one I can. This is the best one to go on. I was doing this was so many years. This is like 20 years ago, and I was it was a person to person in front reading, and I was you know I use tarot cards, and so I you know it's my main tool, and I was doing a tarot, and suddenly I started feeling like my neck was going back and forth, and you know my eyes started to close, and I just kept talking, and then I felt like all of a sudden I was in the water, and there was these boys that were in the water, and I couldn't get them; they were drowning. They were like three boys; they were drowning, and I was talking, but I wasn't aware of what I was saying to this. It was a man I was doing this reading for, and I couldn't get, like I said, in fact, my head hit the table, and it's almost like, you know, when you're passing out or something, or like I'm a sleepwalker anyway, it's kind of like that. And when I kept saying, I'm sorry, and I kept talking, not really knowing what was coming out of my mouth. Well, it turned out, he was like, wow, he goes, his three boys had drowned years prior to that. So, you know, like I said, I didn't know what was going on. I was just going to do a tarot, you know, reading for him and use my tarot and do my thing. But that was one particular thing, and there was a couple other times, but that was the best example I can give you. So I don't know. I would only call that transmute, because like I said, I was with these boys in the water. I didn't know him. I didn't know about his, you know, personal life. But he felt better that I saw, you know, it wasn't like I was saying terrible things, but I was talking and not aware of what I was saying. You know, like when you're half asleep, and I do that and talk away about this or that. I know, Steve, you're a medium too. Like, do you have those types of, you know, trance mediumship in the physical? I don't know. I wouldn't say that was a physical, because I was in a trance.
Yeah, it is a form of physical mediumship.
Yeah,
I guess. Deep trance, and you, when you step aside in effect and you allow spirit to overshadow you, it's a mild form of trance. Yeah,
I guess it would be a little bit of both, but usually I feel like I'm going to pass out. I mean, just rarely for some people, and I do almost literally pass out, and I keep talking, whatever. It's odd. My body takes a beating from it when I have to. I mean, but I wish I could learn, maybe, like I said, I'm inspired to learn how to maybe control it, or maybe learn how more about, yeah, how to do
we
that.
We have to invite John to come down to San Diego, because
absolutely.
He I think they're based in California, although they travel a lot.
Yeah, no thanks. Yeah, he was wonderful, and I like that he brought, yeah. Thank you.
Really great guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Exciting. Well, Brenda, I want to ask you about the crystal ball. I know I've asked you about this briefly before, but how does the crystal ball work?
Well, it's interesting. You know, that was the thing I was just going to talk about too. I'm very connected to my crystal ball. And when people come to my office and they want to, or even over the phone too, either come to the office or over the phone, they want to speak to someone who's passed over, you know, the crystal ball becomes like this transmitter. And so many things come out of it physically, spirit, you know, and mentally. And then just, you, I'm able to see through with the crystal through the person's eyes that's passed over. And I can describe things to the people, you know, favorite foods, where they like to go. I mean, it's pretty powerful. The crystal ball is what I exclusively use whenever I do any of my stuff. I've used the Ouija board, I've done the seances, but when people come and they want to just, and I'll put it there, I don't even have to look at it. It's just the fact that it's becoming this transmitter, and that's just the only way I can describe it.
Sounds fascinating.
It's very fascinating.
So, Bobby, do you intend to get involved in physical mediumship?
I don't intend to, but, you know, there's so many in-between trips.
Well, in that case, you could intend to get involved with a call from somebody from Florida. I'm only joking. Carry on.
Don't intend to with that either. What I love is the fluidity of the mediumship. In other words, in between trips, you know, I leave every 2 or 3 months to go traveling and do what I do quite extensively. And I always notice a difference in what I'm doing, whether, you know, it's more expansion or just more knowledge about it and that kind of thing. And I, you know, it very well could lead to a physical type of, you know, manifestation of mediumship. In other words, learning how to do it and that type of thing. So I don't intend it. I don't intend anything necessarily with the mediumship other than to just continue to tune in as best I can. And if that means it goes to the physical realm, then that would be awesome. I mean, you know, I'm not opposed to it. You know what I mean? It's just, I just want to tune in, not filter the messages. I want to get them just as clean and clear as I possibly can. That's always my intention. And so in whatever way that that's going to end up, I'm completely open for, you know.
That's good. There's a lot to explore.
So much, yeah.
Well, Bobby, we have a caller from Florida for you.
All right. Hello, Florida. Are you there?
Yes.
Hi, how are you? Who's this?
My name is Sandy.
Sandy. Hi, Sandy. What can I do for you, sweet?
Talk about spiritual world and stuff. I've just started being able to photograph orbs, and I have an orb that I can actually call by name that will come to my camera now.
Great.
And I kind of find it quite fascinating that just out of the blue I've started doing this, and I keep catching more and more facial figures, like on my TV screen now, and learned a few things of people that have lived in my home that have passed and have had confirmation that it's their faces that I'm seeing. And it's actually faces like I'm looking right at you type of faces now.
Right.
I just wondered if you had any insight on that.
Well, I'm not sure what you're asking me. It sounds like... you know, with the statement that you're giving of being able to see, and one of the things. So let me kind of back up a little bit. When I listen to someone and they tell me what it is that you've told me, say,
mm-hmm.
I listen to the degrees of vibration. In other words, you say what you say, and I see if I resonate with that or not. I see if, well, those aren't really orbs you're getting. They're such, right? Or like you said, you were able to see the faces in them and you know who they are and stuff. I would be able to say or see if, well, it may not be what you think it is. It could be this, right? And I would explain further. But so everything that you've said to me, I really am on vibration with, and I resonate completely with what you're saying. So there isn't anything to answer here. If you're looking for confirmation, I'm giving it now, where... yeah, you're doing what you say you do. And
yeah.
I think it's leading you
down the path. I mean, everybody, you know, it's funny because fate, I think, kind of leads you down this path. Like you say, you just kind of started doing it, and it really takes you where you need to go. And if you're learning what you need to learn, you're seeing the faces, you're able to call these orbs by will. I mean, that's great. I just keep doing what you're doing. And as I just talked with Steve about, you know, when I go out and travel and do this, the work always expands. Well, if you just keep doing what you're doing, eventually you're going to also be inspired to do other things with the camera work and orbs and go to different places and be able to call them in and then to start distinguish who are your guides or who was there before, kind of living in the household. Do you see what I mean? So I think it will continue to expand as long as you're just focusing and paying attention to what it is that you're doing. You know, this kind of thing too will open you up dramatically as well. I know that in my own experience with orbs, I could always feel a spirit presence around. Even in my own house, I would call up energies, feel them in a certain place, and then take a picture and have that orb appear there. Sounds like you're kind of doing the same thing. That's a great tool to practice calling in spirit, feeling spirit where they're at, taking a photograph, getting that confirmation. And, you know, it's a great tool for anybody out there that wants to kind of practice their mediumship in a way, or it's not even, you know, mediumship is our communication in between the spirit world and the human world. In other words, you know, passing messages on. You don't have to pass messages to be that type of a medium. You could just simply tune into the spirit world, get the connection, call them in, again, taking photographs and seeing different ways that they're around your body. See if you can feel. I remember my TV host, I would feel an energy around her by her elbow, you know, and she would feel a cold sensation, and we would take a picture, and there'd be an aura by her elbow. And then, you know, of course, just the precaution, just take care and make sure that you're not getting a dust, you know, or things that get kicked up in the camera, because that happens too. I know when I look at orbs in pictures, I can tell if it's an orb or if it's dust, just from the feeling of it. So all of this, all that you're describing, it sounds like you've done more than dip your toe in the pool. It sounds like you kind of jumped in, and now you're starting to learn how to tread water and doggy paddle. Next, you'll be swimming and doing laps like an Olympic swimmer. So keep going on the path that you're going. I think it's great. It's a wonderful way to practice.
Super, super. I mean, I've even I've had them touch me, you know. Sure. One actually gave me a light head massage one night. I thought it was my husband, and I was half asleep, you know, and I felt this really light rub on my forehead, and I was like, oh, honey, that feels so good. And I looked up, and there was no one there, and I was like, oh, well, whoever you were, thank you, you know. You know, they tickle my feet. I get a kick out of it. You know, my husband gets kind of freaked out sometimes now, but I just really am. It's just bizarre that, you know, after, you know, at 53 years old, now I'm experiencing this.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it takes us a little later in life. Trust me, I know. So, but I appreciate you calling in. Thank you, Sandy.
Well,
and good luck.
Thank you.
I think you're headed off into a wonderful direction. That's great.
Thanks. You have a wonderful evening.
All right. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Bobby.
Oh, never mind. I'm ready.
Sorry, Maureen. Have we got a call for you?
Yeah, New Jersey. New Jersey. Yeah. Hi, New Jersey. Thanks, Steve. Sorry to interrupt you. Hello, New Jersey. New Jersey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well.
May I have your name, please?
Simone.
Simone. Hi, Simone. And what can I help you with?
I've been having financial trouble for the past couple of years, and it resulted to me moving back home to New Jersey with my parents. I would like to know if I will eventually get back out on my own, because I have a son, and if me and my boyfriend and I will eventually be in the same household together, because we do have a son, and he misses dad, and it's kind of tough right now.
Right. No, I understand. Well, what I'm getting is this. I think it was a smart idea what you did for your son as well. It was a very smart move to do what you did, because instead of waiting for something bad to happen, but you came into your home, you're able to save money. Now, I do see within the next two to three months, I see you celebrating with women friends, like something very great, and I see your son really happy. Like, he's very interesting. He's very sensitive. He's very psychic. It looks like he dreams and stuff. But it looks like a celebration. So I would, what I'm getting within the next 2 to 3 months, I'm not saying you have to wait that whole time. My time frame could be off, but like I said, I see you really happy, and there's two other women around you, like sisterly figures, okay? So I'm feeling, and also I see him moving forward. So the stagnation will be over for your situation. Now, as far as being with your boyfriend, I'm wondering, is he trying to get himself sorted out in order for him to be more responsible about being able to take care of you guys as well?
That is correct. He did have a job loss 2 years ago, and I had a job loss a year ago. But he has been trying to look for work. It's funny that you said that, because when he lost his job, he just gave up. Like, you know, it was the end of the world. He didn't want to do anything. And that's why I was going
to back home. So he didn't do anything about it. And that didn't change. Yeah, I know, you withdraw, you can't do anything about it, and he just wants to hide. And I see him moving forward. Things are fine. I mean, he's fine, because he wouldn't withdraw and detach. You don't want to do anything. And I do see him working, getting some good things. There's been a lot of unfairness and some legal injustice around him, but I do feel that you two will get together, and you are going to do well. I see you working out of a home. You know what? Like I said, things are going to be changing. You're heading in the right direction. It's very positive. And you don't have to thank me for whatever I'm saying. I think I'm just affirming or confirming what you can see going on, heading your way. You're making it happen, but I think it was a smart move what you did going in with your parents. It was very smart. It was the best thing you could have done. So, yes, I do see some very positive things. I do see your boyfriend. Things are going to be working out better in the job and all that. He's feeling more empowered. Yes, I do. And you're going to do fine.
Yeah, because I just got a job offer like an hour ago, and I start May 13th with a big financial company.
Oh, so, great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Oh. See, everything's going to get even better, more back on track, and your relationship will be even better than ever as well. Your son looks very happy. He's going to be very happy. He's adjusting. He'll be fine. He's going to be very happy. He knows all the good stuff is coming around, but I do see definitely moving forward. So I hope I helped you, Simone, and thank you for calling.
Thank you. You helped me, and God bless.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Thank you, Maureen. Okay, Brenda, you have a call from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, hi.
Hello, Brenda.
Hi there. What can I do for you this evening?
I was wondering if you could tell me about a gentleman I just started recently seeing.
Okay. Take a peek.
I mean, it's still all relatively new, but is there anything, is it going to lead to anything, or?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There's definitely a spark. There is definitely a spark between the two of you, and it looks pretty intense. It really does. I mean, this could develop into something special. It's important, though, to not get caught up with perhaps some behaviors that have happened from the past in your past relationships, or even his past relationships, because kind of the sacrifice that you're going to make with this in order for it to go smoothly is patience. And, you know, his timing, the way he does the relationship, might be a little bit off from you, because right now I feel that not only is he attracted to you, but he also likes to kind of, he's kind of in his own timing, and he likes to take the lead in the relationship. When's his birthday?
Right. What was that?
Do you know when his birthday is?
January 3rd, 1973.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, he feels very deeply, and when he does make a commitment, even though he's going to examine a lot of this carefully, and you know, it's not going to happen right away, because I don't see him as an impulsive man, but once he makes a commitment, it's for good. This has a lot of good possibilities around it, but again, I see that your biggest sacrifice in this is going to be patience, because he's going to do it at his own pace. one of the things I see in the summertime is I see some invitations to some special events. It looks like the physical attraction is pretty intense between the two of you. How many times have you seen him?
It's been once or twice a week for the last 2 months.
Yeah, it's very new, and especially for him, it's very new. So sit back and know that, first of all, I don't see that he's hung up on any other women. It looks like he's serious about pursuing this.
Okay. Because I feel like he's keeping his cards close to his chest.
Very much so, and he will do that. And this is the thing with this guy. That's why I'm saying your sacrifice in this is patience. When you get to the point where you're going to be saying, well, why doesn't he tell me he loves me? Why doesn't he? No, it's going to take him longer than most guys.
Okay.
When he says it, though, he's really going to mean it. He's not the kind of guy that after 2 weeks is like saying, I love you, you know, I want to do all this, because that could burn out really quick. No, he's going to take his time. But when he says it, he's going to really mean it. So, you know, hang in there, okay?
Well, yeah, because that's exactly, because it's like he works a lot, I work a lot, so the communications, and I'm almost to the point of saying, well, is it even worth just hanging around for?
Well, you know, this is the thing. You could bail, and you could go back and, like, look around, and then you'd have to spend a lot of extra time trying to find somebody. This is a nice, solid guy. It's just that this relationship is really new, and it is going at a slow pace. So, you know, while it's going at a slow pace, do some things for yourself. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, is he afraid of a relationship?
He's not afraid of relationships, no, but he wants to take his time and make sure it's right.
Okay.
He's not impulsive.
He's been divorced a year, and I know the other night he was talking with his buddies, and he had got a whole lot of anger there.
He does, and he's got to work through it. That's all part of him taking his time. But I don't see that he's going to, you know, hold this as a bitterness, and I don't see that he's going to not make a commitment. But, you know, first of all, it's only 2 months. You haven't really been seeing him more than twice a week, and he's newly divorced. For a Capricorn man, this is something that takes a lot of adjustment. So you have to be patient with this. It's worth it. I feel it's worth the wait. This is a good man. This is a solid man.
Okay. Do you see a time frame or no?
And what a time frame for what?
Where it might pick up.
I feel that by June, the end of June, early July, the pace picks up a little bit, because then he's, you know, ready to go on to the next level with you. But I still see him not putting a label on it or putting, you know, saying it's this and this is what we're going to do. This is going to take him several months, but you know, he wants to get to know you. He also wants to be in the moment too.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Yep. All right. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Wonderful. Thank you, Brenda. Well, there's a call for me now from New Jersey. Who's calling from New Jersey?
Hello.
Hello. Hi, who's calling?
Hi, this is Nicole.
Hello, Nicole. How are you?
A little miserable right now.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Nicole. How can we help you?
Okay. I wanted to know about a certain situation with somebody that I got closer with, more so this year. The last time we spoke, well, that he reached out to me was the 18th, and then I haven't heard from him, like, at all. I tried to reach out twice to him, the 24th and the 25th, and still no response, nothing. So I want to know if he's ever going to reach out to me or what's going on with that.
Let's see. I do feel that you'll have contact with him, but I feel that trying to pursue something with him is not risky, but uncertain. It's a bit of a gamble. And I feel that he's a good guy,
but I feel that he is having a tough time at the moment. I wouldn't take it personally that you haven't heard from him. I don't feel that he's avoiding you. I just feel that he's going through a lot. And I do feel that you'll hear from him in May. I feel that it would be around the 15th, so you've got another couple of weeks. But even so, I don't feel that this would develop into a relationship, or a relationship that would be a good relationship. So my strong feeling is to just relax. Don't take it personally. He's going through quite a lot. It's not because of anything you've done. And I feel that you'll hear from him in the middle of the month. But I don't feel that this would be a great relationship between the two of you. So I would set the expectation that you'll hear from him and that you're open to that. But I wouldn't set the expectation that this will evolve into a relationship you would want to be in. That's what I see for you.
You know why it wouldn't be a good relationship?
I feel that you would be uncomfortable or anxious in this relationship. I just don't feel that it would be a free-flowing, joyful relationship. I feel it would bring complexity for you. And I feel that there are other options for you. So for sure, if you hear from him in the middle of May, which I feel you will, then I'm not saying turn him away, but I would be cautious in your approach to a potential relationship with him, because I don't feel that it would end well. So you would really need to take the time to get to know each other much better. And I feel that when you do, you would be better off as friends than as partners. And that's what I see. But as I said, I do feel that you'll hear from him, and I don't feel that you've done anything wrong. He's just having a rough time at the moment. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. Well, Bobby, we have a caller for you now from Florida.
All righty. Hello, Florida.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? Who's this?
Hi, my name's Carol.
Hi, Carol. What can I do for you? What do you want to talk about?
Well, last September I had an awakening, and since then my abilities have started to open up, and I just don't know what direction it's going to take me, and I was hoping maybe you would have some insight into that.
What kind of vodka were you drinking?
I wish I was.
I only say that because that's what helps me open up. So that's the secret. Well, again, it's kind of funny. I like the theme that always seems to take place that, you know, it still goes back to what I was telling Steve, where all of this really just kind of develops, doesn't it? It expands and goes in the direction that it's going to take you in. And our job is to be just as open to that as possible. You listen to shows like what we had tonight and say, you know, that's the direction I'd like to go with this. I think firstly, now that you're opened up or, you know, I'm not sure how you're describing the awakening, but if it's a lot like, you know, a first Reiki attunement or you just start seeing, you know, you have a complete paradigm shift and start seeing everything a bit differently in a bigger source perspective. That's the first thing. So now what's your intention? And I'm not asking you that you have to answer, but that's what I would, if I were going to coach somebody in this. So what do you want? What do you want to do with this? Where do you want to go? What types of abilities do you want to manifest for yourself? And all of that will take you in the direction that you want to go. And this is personally how I started. I knew and saw by example what I wanted to do and who I didn't want to be. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like there's certain examples of like, yeah, I don't want to see that or I don't want to be that type of a medium. but mostly paying attention to, again, what it is I wanted to do. Did I want to get names? Did I want to see them? Do I want to hear them? Do I want to feel them? Do I want all three? Do you see what I mean? So you kind of map it out as to how you want to get the information, what you want to do, and where you want to go with this. Right now, you're in a really great stage. Again, I go back to I'm a Reiki master, and so I go back to a first Reiki attunement, which would be opening you up to be able to receive healing energy so that you can expand that to other people. And that seems to me where you're at just now. In other words, you're very open. If I were to look at you as an analogy, standing there, tall, straight, feet together, and your hands out by your sides with the palms facing up. You see? And so that type of receiving position is a wonderful, wonderful place to be. And that will move you forward into, again, whatever you want. It you have to be open to doing everything. Just because I didn't go down the road of physical mediumship doesn't mean that I won't in the future. So you have to take a look at the different types of mediumship and get excited about where it is that you're headed, because you're the one that's dictating, in a sense, of where you're going to go. Do you see what I mean? Like you really put out there, here's what I want to do. And certainly it's going to go in the direction it's going to go anyway, but you still have your intent of what type of medium or spiritualist or whatever you want to call it that you're going to be. So if you're just looking for confirmation of, are you doing it and are you headed in the right direction? Absolutely, yes. You're open to it, and you will be experiencing the things that you're wanting to experience. Just avoid the pitfalls. Get out of the way, right? Don't put your human self involved in it. Don't interpret necessarily what you're seeing. Just discern what you're seeing. In other words, the information that comes through, whether it be for you or for someone that you love, don't add to it. Just give it like you see it. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So you don't want to filter it through yourself, you because you can add your opinions and things like that. And what you'll notice is that you'll be on this healing journey right along while you're doing this for other people. Again, if that's where you want to head. So, moving along in the right direction. Again, another analogy for you is you got in the car and you're headed towards the highway to get on your trip. And it's a great place to be. So keep doing what you're inspired to be doing, going into meditation now, taking more classes, getting your hands on every book that you can find, watching, you know, if it helps you to watch, I've never seen any of her shows, but if it helps you to watch Long Island Medium, you know, to see how she
I watch it all the time.
Well, I started with John Edward, just watching how he does what he does, so I could be in that energy and tune into it and see how he's doing it and what he's doing and the phraseology, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then you'll break off and start doing your own thing, you know. So that's my advice for you in just getting started here. There's so much to explore, but again, confirmational-wise, I think you're headed in the right direction. As long as you know, I would check in with you, and you can always call us here at Psychic Access and ask any one of the psychics to see how far you're coming along, because it can really be helpful to, you know, now I see that analogy of your palms facing up. Next time I talk to you, you may be crouched in a fetal position, you know, like, no, my God, which won't happen. I'm just kidding. But you see what I mean? Like, it's really helpful to know where you're at and how far you're coming along. So make sure that you check back with us. And, you know, or somebody, you know, anybody you trust, really, but we just have some wonderful people on PA here, and you can check with us to just kind of find out your progress and make sure that you're moving in the right direction.
Okay. Wonderful. Yeah. It's good to know.
Well, welcome to the dark side. It's wonderful to have you.
Be nice.
So thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bobby. Thanks, Bobby. We do have two callers on hold for Florida, and I just want to say to you both, please hang on. We will get to you shortly. The next call is from Florida, Maureen, and this is for you.
Hi. Hello, Florida. This is Maureen. Is this Kate?
Hi, Maureen. This is Kate.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
I'm okay, Maureen.
Great. And what would you like me to look into for you?
Well, Maureen, in the last couple of years, my family has been going through an awful lot of traumatic experiences. And, for example, just last year, we lost my stepson, who was 27 years old, in an accident. And just last week, we lost his mother. And my stepdaughters are so upset, and I would just like to be able to tell them that my stepson and his mother are together, but yeah. I am not sure whether she has crossed over yet, and I was just wondering if you had any sense of that.
Okay, so this is about yourself. It sounds like you're a very self-aware person about when people don't cross over, they're kind of or they're earthbound, or people call them earthbound. And your daughters, are they in tune with the same kind of way? Because I guess I'm wondering, it's really interesting how things happen like that. And I am sorry and sad for you, not having them in the physical world. But that is kind of interesting, isn't it? A mother and and a son. At the
right.
same, it is kind of fascinating. And that, in some ways, is a gentle feeling I'm getting about them. I don't feel anyone's together. They're both together. I feel that this is in a way, there's something about, there was a sense of lost victory in the winter. There was something about the winter month, January or something. It could have been, it just felt like it was very frustrating. And you lost a lot. Do you know what I wanted to ask you, Kate? Are you very in tune with your inner voice? Are you one of those people?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is interesting because it pretty much, I feel that it's like you're, and this happens. I know it happened to me with my father. You start, even though you're sensitive, you know the work you do or whatever, as with me, you don't get it for other people. You don't get it for yourself. But I know that deep down you sense that everything, they've crossed over, and I see them together, and it's like very, it's so lovely, it's so warm, and it's so gentle. They're doing fine, and and they're on their, and also, it's easy for me to say this, but you'll probably understand it. I feel that they're on the road, the journey that they're to be on, but they're just not in our physical world, and I feel that they'll be back again. I do, and I feel that you knew this, but I do know when you get close into your own family, you might help somebody else. I know this. It's frustrating. You start losing it for you're not connecting, but no, definitely. And it's such an equal mutual feeling. It's so much warm, kind love between the two of them. And
they always were very close, and she took his death very badly. And I think she just kind of gave up.
Then that's sad too. But you know what? She's okay. And I don't tell anybody it's good, okay to give up. No doubt about it. But whatever the way she got to where she's at, I see them together, and certainly not anywhere or floating around. You know what I mean? In a very positive way and grounded, exactly where they're to be. And I see the strength of the lion energy and angel. I don't usually talk about angels, but very, very positive. And I feel that you might want to, take a moment, just be still, and you'll get exactly what I'm just affirming to you, really, that and the path that they're on, it was to be the path, and I feel that they'll be around. Yeah, it's very, very good. It's very good.
What about the daughters? Do you feel like they're going to be okay, because they're really in bad shape right now?
I feel they will be, and I feel it's normal and okay that they be in bad. Give them permission to be in bad shape. That's normal, but also try to focus on the positive of the two of them. I know it's difficult to do this, but the two of them, and they should be in bad shape. Really, actually, it's normal to be in that some people grieving, but I would suggest or encourage you just to explain to them that the two of them are fine. And if they ever want to speak to them, they can, even through dreams.
Right,
they're doing fine.
Right.
They're looking out. They're in a really good place.
I feel that, if they know that she's with him and they're happy together, I think that will help them to get better.
Exactly. You're exactly right. So, yes, definitely everything's okay. It'll be okay. So I hope I helped you. I hope I helped you.
Oh, you did. I think you will help everybody, really, if I can tell them this.
Yes, you can, and you know this stuff. But bless your hearts. And I feel very good. It feels warm and loving and caring where they're at together. Okay, Kate, thank you for calling in.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Maureen. Well, we've got another caller for Brenda from Maryland.
Hi, Maryland. How are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay. What can I do for you tonight? What do you want to know? What do you need to know?
I was planning to move to Florida, and it's turning out that I'm like unable to get my places rented, and I scheduled to do some mini series teaching here on spiritual areas. And I was mm-hmm. just wondering if the rentals aren't working because I'm supposed to be here. Why is it so hard that I'm having such a difficult time with getting my place rented?
The very first thing that I see here has to do with a flow, kind of a universal flow and a timing. And you do need to do these. Are they workshops that you're doing?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These workshops there's going to be a result from these workshops that are very positive. Are they happening in the next 3 months?
Yes. In the next, actually, 30 days.
Yes. And as a result of these and the energy and everything that's created through this and you focusing on this path, the rest will follow. You haven't rented your place because, you know, really the right person hasn't come. And I do believe that it's got to be the right person. Sometimes these things in the universe has a plan for you. There's somebody who's going to really like it, take care of it, and actually pay the rent. That's, you know, that's what you need. I do see a couple mm-hmm. coming in. How big is your place?
I'm not renting to couples. I'm renting to individuals because it's not big enough to take couples.
It won't take a man and a woman?
No, because it's not big enough to have that many people here.
Well, it's interesting because I do believe that now this is, of course, something that you're going to have to decide on your own because I do see that a couple does approach you. Whether you say yes or no, I just feel that that's an option. If your question is, will you get it rented, it's going to be about it's within the next 3 months.
Can't wait that long. Oh my goodness.
It's within the next 3 months. So your workshops will mm-hmm. happen. And during the course of them happening, that's when I feel that the right person is going to come your way. I just really feel, I mean, is it like a really tiny apartment? Because it feels like there's a couple. That's just what I see.
Yeah. It's not that small of an apartment, but it's the space wide and the flow. It's just...
Right.
When you're renting three rooms, you don't want a couple in it because the flow of energy between people is not even.
Well, be aware that that's going to come your way, and it feels like, I mean, of course, you can say you don't want that, but it feels like, you know, at some point you might even feel good about it. It could even be a couple that maybe one part of the couple has to have a room for a while, and this will give you a chance to, you know, make your next step. But as far as your next step and moving to Florida, it's within a 3 month period.
Okay.
That's what I see.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Okay. And thank you so much.
Oh, hang in there. Bye.
Bye bye. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. Okay. We have somebody waiting from South Dakota. Please hold on there, South Dakota. We'll get to you very shortly. I'm going to take a call from Florida. Who's calling from Florida?
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
My name is Shanga.
Hi, Shanga. How can I help you?
I've been having some legal and health issues, and I'm just wondering how I'm going to come out of this.
Sorry, how?
How am I going to? I have a lawsuit pending.
Yes.
Over a car accident I was in, and yes. I'm just wondering how it's going to come out.
I feel it comes out in your favor in September.
September?
Yeah. Was the other driver a male?
It was a female.
Well, what I see is I see a male that is not really looking at your best interests. Is your attorney male?
Yes.
And how do you feel about your attorney?
I feel very comfortable with him.
Sorry, you feel...
But I think I know the male that you're talking about.
Yeah, I see a male that is not really helping. That's the first thing I feel. And for whatever reason, I feel that that situation needs to be addressed because it's somehow associated with the outcome that you get in September.
Okay.
Do you understand why that might be?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So that situation does need to be addressed.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, you need to address that situation because it has a connection with the outcome. And I feel as though that male is in some way associated with how you're feeling about yourself. And in some way associated also with your health, your emotional, psychological well-being, which obviously has an impact over your physical health. It's all wrapped up together. But I feel that the court case is in your favor. I'm drawn to the number 17. It feels like 17,000. That's a number that comes to mind quite strongly. But I feel that there are other things that need to be changed around you. It's not just a question of this court case. I feel as though there's difficulty in a relationship. And that causes you anxiety. Are you in a relationship right now?
Yes.
And is it a difficult relationship?
It's becoming that, yes.
Yeah, because that's something that very much needs to be addressed. And it feels to me that that's almost more important than the court case in terms of where you put your focus, because the court case is going to work out okay. It's that other situation that you need to give attention to, because that's having an impact over your health as well. But I do feel, as I said, that things unfold September onwards, but you need to look at that relationship and either make improvements or decide what it is you want moving forward, because that seems to be the more pressing matter in your life at the moment, particularly associated with health. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you. God bless you.
You're welcome. Bless you too. Okay, well, we've got the last caller from South Dakota for Bobby.
South Dakota. Who's this?
This is May.
Hi, May. How are you?
Hello. I'm just kind of scattered. I hadn't intended to call in, so kind of be patient while I explain this. After I had my youngest son completed suicide 17 years ago, and so, but when I listened to the watched the video, I just had this overwhelming urge to call in, and I'm just sitting here with tears coming down my face, and so every once in a while I check on him and see what's going on with him and so forth. So I just guess I need you to let me know how he's doing and how things are going with him and so forth.
So I really apologize, but right in the beginning there, on my end here, broke up just a little bit. Who did you want to try to get in touch with?
My son, my youngest son.
Okay.
He completed suicide when he was 16, 17 years ago.
Okay. Okay, that's all. Who's got the, somebody has a birthday that's just getting ready to come up. Either birthday anniversary. Normally I get very distinctive that it's a birthday or an anniversary, but this one's kind of muddled. It seems like whatever type of celebration that's coming up here in another week and a half.
My husband has a birthday.
Okay. So what I'm doing is just making sure that I'm tuned into the right person for you, because we have little time, right? So I want to make sure that we're connecting with the right person. So basically the down and short of it is what I've discovered with many people who commit suicide is that it almost seems like after they've crossed, they need to make some type of atonement or need to take responsibility in some way. And he's definitely has done that and has gotten to such a calm, peaceful place now where I see that his passing was just filled with just so much anger and screaming and such of how he, you know, while he was crossing over and what drove him to that point. And there is such a calm, peaceful moment now. He's showing me a scene from the movie. Have you seen Forrest Gump?
Yeah.
There was a point where in the middle of a storm on the shrimping boat, Lieutenant Dan, remember how he was screaming at God?
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of scenes, Forrest was narrating and said, he must have found his peace with God because he stopped yelling. And that's when Lieutenant Dan Wright just took a swim in the ocean then. And that, do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's your son now. That's where your son was and where he's at now.
Okay.
Now he's also holding a baby energy. So whoever lost a child, and it could very well belong to him, whether there was a miscarriage or a termination of pregnancy, but he's also holding this child with him too, and he's taking on that responsibility as well, which again kind of spiritually advances us or helps us while we're on the other side make that atonement that we're talking about. Does that make sense as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been several. His brother lost a baby, and he personally, before he died, there was a termination of pregnancy that might have been, that was his. So
I'm going to say that's it. What? Tell me where the name similarity, just to make sure, the name similarity on between him and Dad and Grandpa, and you know, on Dad's side of the family, like that. Who shares the same name?
You're exactly right. It's his dad's first name and his initials, and grandpa's middle name, I think.
So that's just all that is, honey, is just confirmation that it is the brothers. I mean, like I say, sometimes, like you said, there can be several, right, miscarriages or baby losses in the family. And when you said a brother, we just wanted to make sure that that's who he was talking about. So he was talking about the brother. And
he was talking about the brother. Okay.
What's that?
Okay, so that was his brother then, huh? That
it was his brother. Yeah, he was taking care of his
brother. They just lost it 2 years ago, and it was really devastating for them both.
Well, of course. So I would definitely pass that on to the brother, okay? And then for you, as well, just know that he's that calm, peaceful place now, all right? Don't hold him where he was or who he was before he crossed. Try to look at him as to what he's become now that he's on the other side, okay?
Okay. Right, is there any specific reason why I just needed to call? And I'm just, I mean, I've done all my work, and I've done all my grief work, and I thought I was, you know, but then everything, you know, of course, with the suicide, there's so much, and there was so much turmoil,
and
wondering why and stuff that,
no, I understand, of course, and unfortunately, we're going to run out of time here, May, but just let me tell you that, of course, you've done all your work, but don't let the mistake of feeling like you need to call as meaning that you haven't gotten past what you've gotten past. You've let go and released a ton. It's because of how much you've released that you are able to hear the messages that he's giving now. We often make a mistake of thinking that hanging on to grief, we don't hear them, we don't see from them, we don't feel from them. It's very difficult to see them around, okay? But in this particular case, they prompt you to call. This is them. This is them giving you a little boost and giving you inspiration from the other side to call. And to, I mean, you could have, you know, you just could have been doing other things tonight. There's just no coincidence with all of this. That's him prompting you to call because you're ready to hear the types of messages. You see what I mean? And it's only because you've done all the work that you have done. You will, in my experience, never get over the loss of your son, ever. But you don't have to. You can live with it. You can not have it grip you and bite you and be in such pain when you think about it, which you have gotten to that point. But it'll be 30 years from now, and you're still going to shed a tear for your son. That's okay. But you're in a much more peaceful place with it than, again, gripping and blaming and guilt and all that type of stuff where it was before. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
I do.
Again, don't discount the work that you've done. It's been brilliant, and you've come so far, and it's only because of that that you and I are able to talk like this tonight, only, okay? So give yourself a little bit of credit. High five from the other side.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Mae, thanks for calling in, sweetheart.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, Bobby. That was beautiful, really great mediumship, wonderful evidence as well for Mae, and you deliver it in such a touching way. It was great. Well, who is hosting the show next week? Oh, Stephen is hosting the show next week, right?
Yes, I think he is.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
And it's about psychic defense.
Psychic defense, great.
Yes.
We were talking a little bit about that earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Okay, well, we'll look forward to that. And over to you guys to say what you would like to say before we wrap up the end of another good show.
Well, good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good
Thank
night.
You for coming, and bring all your friends and pals and your pets to our chat room.
Well, the pets are here. Can hear them now.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.